Please turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. We'll read the first six verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malachiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And let's pray, Father, you sure have been good to us here. Lord, you have done so many great things. If we would take many hours a day for the next 7 days, we would praise you till next Sunday for all that you've done for us just here today. No way could we measure it all. Father, we're still a needy people. We need you some more. Father, please fill my preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The name of the sermon this evening is this: Stop and Smell the Roses. You read earlier from the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. Let me tell you just a little bit about what's happening here. In Nehemiah, of course, Nehemiah the prophet is the one that God used to pen this book. When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he was given the position of being the governor. Now, Nehemiah and Ezra worked together to improve the conditions of the city of Jerusalem. The theme of the book of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the wall. There was a wall around the city of Jerusalem. It had been torn down, deteriorated, and Nehemiah was going back into this town, and it was his job to rebuild that wall. Now, just prior to this, Ezra, a prophet, he had worked on the rebuilding of the temple inside that wall. Now, Nehemiah rebuilds the wall outside of the town. But anytime you go to building something, opposition will come. Anytime you build something, you get ready. If you're doing a work for God, the devil is not very happy about that, so he is going to oppose it. I expect some opposition in my life. Why? Because I'm a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You just won't see the kind of revival that we're experiencing unless the devil gets upset about it. And he's going to oppose it. I expect a certain opposition in my life. I'm an old-time Baptist preacher. I preach to see lives change and people get saved. So I think the devil is going to oppose that. And you, as a Christian, be ready for some opposition. Be ready. Recognize its danger. And honestly, recognize from who that opposition truly comes. The devil wants to slow you down. The devil wants to slow our church down. And that's what's happening here. Now, very quickly, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you through some verses here and show you what's taking place. They were rebuilding, and this was a job they were doing for God. They had rebuilt the temple, and they're rebuilding the wall, and God wanted it done, and it was a building program, if you will. As a result of it, we see the opposition come. Now, I'm going to jump through some verses. You won't have to turn to them. I'll read them to you. I'll point out some of the things that are taking place here in the book of Nehemiah. Satan was grieved by the progress that had gone on here in this work of God. Nehemiah 2:10, it says, when Sanballat and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Here the Bible says Satan and his cohorts were grieved at the success of this work of God. Then the enemy actually laughed at that success and the progress that God's people were making. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 19, it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn. In other words, Satan's crew, they were laughing at the people of God in this rebuilding process. Then, the Bible teaches us that the enemy virtually despised the progress that was being made. And again, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, the last part of the verse, it says, and they despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? So here we see a work of God is going on. But it grieved Satan and his followers, and they began to laugh at the people of God, and then they despised the work of God. The enemy called God's people unpatriotic. And rabble-rousers. In Nehemiah 2:19 it says, would ye rebel against the king? See, they were rebuilding and doing the work of God, and the enemy was trying to make them look like there was something wrong with them, like there was a disloyalty within them, but that was not the case. Satan's crowd even becomes angry while God's people are rebuilding and making something happen. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. There was actually somebody on the outside that became angry and full of fury about this work of God that was succeeding. Then, the Bible says, the people of God were mocked while they were doing this great work. Nehemiah 4:1, it says, and they mocked the Jews. Then, they ridiculed the people. Listen to this. Nehemiah 4:2, it says, and he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they receive stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And they're ridiculing them. Say, oh, they're not going to be able to do this. They're not going to make it happen. The enemy actually accused them while they're building of unstable growth. Listen to this. Nehemiah 4:3. It says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up it, he shall even break down their stone wall. What they were saying is, hey, a little old fox could climb up on the wall they built, and it would crumble. That wall they're building, it's not strong. Let me tell you something, folks. There are folks out there that would say, ah, that church out there, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, that's some fly-by-night thing. Well, a pretty big crowd of fly-by-nighters around here, pretty strong crowd of fly-by-nighters, but they'll say things, and they'll criticize, and they'll mock, and there may even be some that get mad. The enemy actually conspired to fight against them while they're building. Nehemiah 4:8 it says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. I don't understand it. Why in the world would anybody on the outside of the church want to fight the church and try to stop it from doing God's work? I don't understand it, but it happened. It happened here. There was actually somebody that rallied a group together and said, let's stop them from building the wall. Now, picture this. These people were grieved that the church was growing, and they laughed at the church builders, and they despised the church builders, and they become angry at the church builders, and they mock the church builders, and they ridicule the church builders, and they mock their growth and say it's unstable growth. And then they gather people and conspire to try to slow the church down. But thank God, God's people did not quit. It says in Nehemiah 4:9, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So the people of God said, they may mock, they may criticize, they may say things about us, but we're going to keep on praying and we're going to keep on building and keep on serving God. The enemy tried to discourage God's people. It says in Nehemiah 4:10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Tried to get them discouraged and said,
There's too much trash to carry off. You can't build. Hey, the burden bearers are weak. Satan tried to get God's people to join up with the wrong crowd, and he comes along and he begins to criticize the leaders that were leading the rebuilding. But thank God, God's people said, through all of it, we're going to keep building. Through all of it, we're going to keep on going. They were faithful. They were faithful to church. They were faithful to keep on doing the work of God. It says in Nehemiah 8:3, and he read therein before the streets that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. They're talking about the man of God was reading the word of God to the people. Before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Thank God for it. Somebody was building something, and there came pressure, and the pressure became heavy. And listen to me, folks, as we try to do something great for God in our lives and in our church, opposition is going to come. I'm thinking about this next weekend. We're all excited about what God's going to do the very last week of the program. Don't you be shocked if you don't have a flat tire on your car this week. I was thinking Miss Weibel, she told me this morning, she said, I get the flat tire award today when out my tire was flat. Listen, don't you be shocked if something doesn't fall apart. Don't you be shocked. Oh, be so careful, Christians. Be careful, church family. The devil wants to get in to the church family and get us frustrated with each other. He wants to mess up the spirit of the week. He wants to slow down the momentum of the week. You see, we're in a perpetual revival, but this week we're really looking forward to some big things. So what's the devil going to do? He says, I want to stop that. I'm going to mock it. Somebody's going to say something to you. You're going to say, hey, guess what happened at our church last Sunday? Over 1,000 people. We've had 100 people get saved, and somebody's going to say, ah, that's a bunch of malarkey. I don't believe that stuff. Don't let it quench your spirit. Don't let it stop you. It was happening back here in the day of Nehemiah. It's going to happen to us. But that's not the purpose of my sermon tonight, though. These people were building something. They were serving God. They were busy. It got to the point where they actually had to take a sword in one hand, and then they took a trowel in the other hand, used for laying cement and mortar and bricks. And they were building, and they were building and laying bricks into the mortar with one hand. They had a sword in the other hand, waiting for the enemy to come and attack and to try to destroy what they're building. But they were serious about what they were doing. You know, I'm sure that they probably became a little weary of the spiritual pressure. Now, let me make something very clear tonight. I am for hard work. I'm for hustle. I'm not for laziness. Someone say, what does America need today, Brother Owens? One of the things America needs is just some old-fashioned hard work. That'd clean up most of America. But I am not for hustling past the things that God has given us to enjoy. Listen, don't be in such a hurry to finish your meal that you don't taste what you're eating. You know, God gave food a taste for a reason. Thank God for it. You know something? One of the worst things in the world that can happen to a person is you drink something hot and burn your taste buds. I hate that. I mean, if you can't taste your food, what a bummer. Now, that doesn't stop me from eating. But I hate getting my taste buds burnt. Someday, you ought to stick your tongue out in the mirror, not at your husband, in the mirror. Just look at all them little taste buds on there. God's ingenious. God is brilliant. And you ought to thank God he put them taste buds in your mouth, because he put them there because he wanted you to taste the food you were swallowing. But you know, God, he wants us busy about the work of God. He wants us doing the things of God, but he does not want us to be miserable while we're busy. Some of you need to slow down and enjoy what God has given you. Slow down enough to enjoy the things that God has created. I told this to the people that came soul winning last Thursday night. I said to them, I said, folks, I said, I never want soul winning to come to the point where we're miserable in doing it. And I don't. I never want our service to God to be miserable. We're serving Jesus Christ. I love this. You know that in the Bible, Jesus Christ is called the Rose of Sharon. The Rose of Sharon. God compares his son, Jesus, to a rose. Boy, the aroma, the smell of a rose. I tell you all something. Let's serve God, but let's enjoy our service to God. Let's enjoy the God we serve. I got some roses. And boy, I'll tell you something. A rose smells beautiful. They have a beautiful smell. And some of you need to stop and smell the roses in your Christian life. For instance, why don't we stop and smell the rose of Sharon in our life? Jesus is the rose of Sharon. The rose of Sharon. What an aroma. I think you need to slow down and enjoy Jesus. Just enjoy Jesus. The Bible says He's the bread of life. I'll tell you something. I don't know what smells best cooking, but it may be bread. I mean, when bread's cooking, you can almost taste the air. You go around. Hey, slow down. God made bread smell good, but wait, he compares bread to Jesus. He's the bright and morning star. You know, something that we love about being here in West Virginia, my wife and I, we have a deck on the back of our house, and we'll go outside and we'll just sit on that deck and look up at those stars, and they're so clear. It's almost as if you can reach up, you can touch them, you can grab them. May I suggest to you that you remember your Jesus is the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. Every time you see a lily, be reminded of the beauty of our Savior. The Bible says He's the living water. My wife the other day, when you come up the road that leads to our subdivision, now we live on the backside of the mountain, and there's a brook that goes all the way along our road. My wife the other day, she came to the house, and she said, "Honey, it took me a while to get home because today, when I got on our road, I drove as slow as I could. And I seen all the water running in that brook and every little waterfall." And she said, "I stopped and I listened to the water and I watched the water flowing in that brook." See, Jesus, He's compared to He's the living water. It would be very wise for us to be reminded of our Savior. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Hey, men, they may not believe it, but we have a living Savior. And listen to me. That rose of Sharon, Jesus Christ, if you just breathe in real big, I promise you something, you'd realize He loves you. He's our Savior. He's your friend. You see, I think we need to stop and smell the roses. Let's not get so busy serving Jesus that we forget about Jesus. Good. That's why we're doing it. That group that just sang a little bit ago, you worked hard, you presented a song, you did it for Jesus. Don't forget why you're doing it. Don't forget, as we get busy around the church, and part of me said I ought to preach this the week after the big day, but I decided we need it before the big day, because I'll tell you something, when this week busts loose and all the events of the week and everything that's going to happen next weekend, don't miss it. Hey, when you come here next Sunday, stop and go, "Oh, I'm in church and look what God is doing." I don't want you to miss it. Stop and enjoy the Savior that makes it possible. Let me advise you not only to stop and enjoy the aroma of your Savior, but won't you slow down long enough to enjoy your salvation? You hear me say this a lot, and it's because it's something that I cling to in my own personal life. Listen, if everything else in life falls apart, there's one thing that I know that's not going to fall apart, and that's my salvation. I didn't have anything to do with it. I just accepted the free gift. He gave it to me. You can take everything I have away from me, but you cannot take my salvation. And every once in a while, it's a good idea to take your salvation and just go, "Oh, the aroma of a salvation for which I did not have to work or pay." Nobody can take your salvation away from you. Stop and enjoy your salvation. Stop and smell the roses. Remember, no matter what happens to you and what heartache comes your way, you're still saved. Slow down and realize salvation is yours and your hope is heaven, and we're going to get there someday, and nothing can change that if you're born again. Just stop and smell the rose, that rose called salvation. Stop and smell the rose of Sharon, our beautiful Savior. I want to recommend to you that thirdly, you stop and slow down long enough and enjoy your marriage. There are good men here, and you're hard workers, and you're working very hard to provide for your wife, and you're providing her with good things. But let me tell you something. I think I could speak for every wife here. She not only wants something, what she really wants and needs in life is you. She married you, not for what she could get out of you, but because she could be with you. And men, I've just got to recommend to you that you're very careful. You're so, yeah, we got a hardworking group of people here. No, I don't know of anybody in this church that is lazy, and I thank God for you. But let me tell you something, men, slow down every once in a while and be with the one for who you work. You're trying to provide for your wife and provide for your kids. Just take a little time and stop and enjoy the marriage that God's given you. I always felt, and I struggled with this as we were, my wife and I were a young married couple. I always personally felt that I had not earned the right to stop and smell the roses along the way. I just felt that way. I just felt like I was supposed to work from sunup to sundown and don't waste any time enjoying life. Just do my providing. But Mrs. Owen said this to me. She said, honey, I always felt like I owed it to God to stop and smell the roses. He created them for us. And I feel like if I don't take a little time to enjoy what God's given me, I'm cheating God out of a pleasure that He gave us. Those of you that are married, I just recommend that you enjoy that thing. And those of you that are married, I want you to remember back when you were young and unmarried and how you couldn't wait to be married. It was a thrill. It was an excitement. It was an adventure. Let's keep it that way. Stop. And smell the rose in your marriage. Don't just do things for your wife. Do things with your wife. Don't just do things for your husband. Do things with your husband. We moved here. The first year we got here, I bought my wife some flowers for in her flower beds. The second year, I bought my wife some flowers for in her flower beds, and then I helped her to plant those flowers. May I say to you, the second year was far more pleasant than the first. I not only provided the flowers, I helped to plant them. Some of you are thinking about my story about the mum. I almost have to tell the story. Mrs. Owens and I were planting flowers. We had purchased, I don't know, like 60 mum plants. And you don't know, you don't understand the soil at my house. It's made of rock. I mean, it's shale. And my wife, we got all these plants, and I laid them all out. And she said, honey, let's go plant flowers together. And I got a post hole digger. I was out there, and we started. And I would dig a hole, dig a hole, dig a hole, dig a hole. And it was hard to dig. All of a sudden, a neighbor lady came over. My wife and this neighbor lady started talking, and they talked and talked and talked, and I'm digging and digging and digging, and I mean, it took me a long time. I am digging furiously to get all the holes dug, 60 holes in this rock. I mean, it was rock. I dug all 60 of these holes. About that time, my wife stopped talking to the neighbor lady. So you're talking about a good hour conversation. Well, I got all those holes dug, and I was so glad to have it over with. And that dear, sweet lady had the audacity to come to me, and she said, honey, the holes are too close. I threw the post hole digger down and said, then you move them. Stop and smell the roses. Plant flowers with your wife. My wife and I, we bought our children a four-wheeler, but they don't get to play with it much. She and I, every weekend, take a ride on the four-wheeler. Call her Motorcycle Mama. Let me tell you something. Don't get so busy purchasing your $250,000 home that you do not live in it and enjoy it with the wife that God's given you. Don't be in such a hurry to eat the meal that your wife fixed that you don't enjoy the person that fixed it. Ladies, don't get so caught into the cooking that you have forgotten for who you're cooking. Stop in your marriage and enjoy it. Enjoy that thing. Stop and smell the roses. Jesus is the rose of Sharon. I believe with all my heart that God intended for us to enjoy the things that He's given us. Some of you need to slow down and enjoy your marriage, but enjoy the stages of your marriage. For instance, you start out and you are married and you have no children. There's another stage. There's married with an infant. And then there's another stage. That infant will grow up and you'll be married and you'll have a child. There's another stage. You'll be married and have a teenager. That is a nervous breakdown stage. There's another stage. Then you'll be married as your children become adults. Then those children, they will move out of the house and you'll be alone again. Could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you enjoy each stage? Enjoy. If you're just married right now and you have no children, stop and enjoy that. Enjoy it. And if you're married and you have an infant, stop and enjoy that stage of life. If your children are no longer in the infant stage, enjoy them being children. Enjoy your teenagers. If you have adult children, enjoy that. Hey, and if you are alone again and the kids are all moved out, yeah! Enjoy it. Stop and smell the roses. Slow down and enjoy it. Hey, listen, those of you that have infants and you're frustrated about it all the time, let me tell you something. It's going to get more frustrating. Enjoy it. Hey, mama, enjoy the fact that you can hold that baby in your arms and rock it in a rocking chair. They'll get older and they won't let you do that anymore. Those of you that have little ones, enjoy it now. Enjoy it. Enjoy. You say, I just get so tired of hearing them ask, why? Why, mama? Why, mama? Why, mama? You better thank God they're asking why, mama. Enjoy that. Enjoy it. Stop. And smell the roses. Slow down long enough to enjoy your health. Everyone here has a degree of health, and most of us have a great degree of health. Nobody here is healthy all the time, but you're healthy. Enjoy it. Rather than looking at the areas where you do not have health, if I were you, I'd praise God for the areas that you do have health and stop and smell the rose of the health that God has given you. Stop and enjoy it. Slow down long enough to enjoy your health. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your Savior. And I want all of us to stop and slow down and enjoy your church. I cannot tell you how desperately I want church to be enjoyable to you. I work at that. I work at making it so you do not dread coming to church. I don't want you to be bored with church. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to come to church and I want you to smile. I want you to laugh. We all know we have burdens. We all know we have heartaches. We even know that we fail and we sin and we do wrong. But I want us to be able to come to church and know there's a reprieve there. There's a place where you can go. And even though you've even done wrong, you'll find people with a smile on their face and a forgiving heart. People singing and enjoying the things of God. Listen, I think most of us have been around long enough to know there are churches where you go and the people are not happy. They're not truly enjoying the things of God. I want us at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to enjoy this church. I want you to enjoy our grade school and enjoy our junior high school and enjoy our high school. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy our youth department. I want you to stop and breathe deep and thank God for King's Kids and enjoy the spring attendance building campaign. I want you to enjoy our first class and our well-organized nursery program. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy. Hey, you ought to enjoy the fact that we uphold the King James Bible around here. Breathe in. Breathe in and thank God for it. Hey, slow down long enough to enjoy your service to God. Enjoy the atmosphere that we have here. Enjoy having a church where the people will love you. Enjoy having a church that's exciting. Enjoy. I want you so badly to enjoy the invitation. It's not every church that when they give an invitation, the altar's full. Just breathe in and enjoy it. Stop. Smell the roses. Why in the world did God call him the Rose of Sharon? Do you think God was saying, I want you to enjoy the aroma of your salvation. Enjoy the aroma of your Christianity. We're having a lot of busyness around the church. But remember, let's not get so busy serving him that we don't enjoy him. I'm going to ask some people to help me. Brother Levi Hall. Brother Levi, come up here real quick, if you will. Brother Levi is one of our bus captains. I think last Sunday, I think he had 77 people on his bus route. Brother Levi, let me tell you something. While you're out there serving, and you're working hard on Saturday, and listen, this guy's busy. He's a busy man. He has a family to support. He's a businessman. He's out on Saturdays visiting, out on Sundays filling his bus route. Most of you are home taking a nap before he got home this afternoon because of his bus route. Brother Levi, let me remind you something.
While you're out there serving, just stop and smell the roses on your bus route. Amen. Thank you, Brother Levi. Thank you very much. Hey, bus captain, we'll let Brother Levi represent you. While you're out there, remember what you're doing. We're serving God. Please don't let it become a negative to you. You're serving God. Some of you bus captains, if you weren't out on Saturday serving God, where could you be? There's some of you. You'd be out on a bar drinking on Saturday night. Thank God for what God's done in your life. Stop. Take a big old deep breath and say, I'm saved. I'm a bus captain at the church and enjoy it. Hey, bus captains, next Sunday, there's going to be a lot of people. You may need to get your rose and take it on the bus and every once in a while take you a big old whiff. Where's Sheila Yates? Where's Sheila at? Sheila, come up here for a second. Sheila, she teaches one of our high school girls' Sunday school classes. To all of you that teach Sunday school at our high school and our teenage levels, let me recommend something to you. Stop. Smell the roses. Sheila, I want you to take that. I want you to enjoy it. Enjoy your Sunday school class, and thank you for your hard work, Sheila. I want you to think about it for a little while. All of you, we let Sheila she represents the high school and our high school Sunday school classes. Where's Brenda? Brenda Sparrow, where are you at? Brenda, are you back there somewhere? Come up here for a minute, Brenda. Brenda works hard, and she helps play piano. And I'll tell you something. Our ladies around here that help play piano, they work at it. Brenda, I just want to remind you while you're working at it to stop and enjoy what you do. You take that with you, Brenda, and thank you for your hard work. Every one of you that work in the special music and you play a piano around here, hey, while you're working at it, while you're getting cramps in your hands, I hope you'll do something. Just stop and say, you know something? I'm playing piano for Jesus. I'm playing piano for the church. The devil doesn't have my talents. I'm not in some filthy rock and roll band somewhere. I'm playing for Jesus. I need these four ladies, if they're in the auditorium here, to come up here. Mrs. Costa, Mrs. Duke, Mrs. Russell, and Mrs. MacArthur. If you ladies will come, these ladies work as secretaries here in our ministry, both at the school and at the church. And ladies, I want to thank you. I want to tell you, enjoy it. Mrs. Costa, I'm going to ask you to make sure Mrs. Duke may be in her nursery back there. But if you will, you take that and you make sure Mrs. Duke gets it. Ladies, I want you to remember something. Remember, while you're busy typing letters, stop and smell the rose and realize you're typing letters for Jesus. As you're fielding the questions and the struggles that there are in all the office duties, and you do not realize, folks, what our secretaries do around here. Incredible. But everybody here that pushes papers, anybody here that helps with any of it, let these ladies represent all of you and just stop. Enjoy the fact that you're serving God. Just relax and enjoy it. Let's not let the devil make us so tense that we're on edge with each other. Let's not let that happen. Hey, we're serving God. God's using you, and God's influencing people because of our church. Where Carmen Davis, are you here, Carmen? There she is. Carmen, you'll just have to leave talking and come up here for a second. I'm going to let Carmen represent our assistant pastor's wives. Thank God for them. Ladies, while you're busy supporting your husband, stop and smell the roses. There are some of you ladies that are assistant pastor's wives. I want you to remember something. There was a day back when you were a young unmarried lady and you said, boy, I would be honored if God would allow me to marry a preacher. Well, you have. Stop. Enjoy it, pastor's wives. Enjoy what you get to do. Edmund and Megan, where are you at? Edmund and Megan, are you back here? Come up here, you guys. Edmund and Megan. Boy, these are sweet people. These are sweet folks. I want you guys to take this. This is a young married couple. Not been married. How long have you been married?
Year and a half.
Okay.
Year and a half.
I wasn't going to ask you. I was going to let her answer just in case you got in trouble. They've been married a year and a half. Let me tell you something. You guys stop. Enjoy your marriage. Don't get so busy with the hubbub of life that you don't enjoy one another.
take those walks and hold hands and enjoy one another. You'll never regret that, I promise you. Stop and enjoy the roses. Thank you, folks. Brother Rick Young, come up here for just a second. Brother Young, let me advise you to do something. You've got a sweet daughter down here. You got a teenage girl at home. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. She's going to grow up. She'll move away. If I were you, I'd take little walks with her. Breathe in real deep and enjoy the fact that you have a teenager at home. If you can. Brother Guin, come up here for a second. Brother Guin, I'm going to let you represent our pastors and assistant pastors around here. I'll tell you something about Brother Guin. He went to Bible college and very patiently waited. And knew that God wanted him in the full-time ministry and that things it just didn't click right away. And he waited and he and I talked. Brother Guin, I don't want you to ever forget. Don't ever forget. You're doing it. You're there. You're serving God. Enjoy it, buddy. Breathe in and enjoy every moment of it. Don't miss what God's allowing you to do. Brother Randy Summers, if you'll come up here for just a second. I'm going to let Brother Randy represent our ushers. Now listen, ushers. It gets busy. It gets tough. You say to someone, oh, right there's a seat. And they say, I don't want that seat. Brother Randy, while you're back there working hard and for every usher upstairs and down, let me recommend something. You're a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Breathe in. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's quite an opportunity. Elizabeth Hamm, where are you at, Elizabeth? If you'll come up here. Elizabeth is one of our part-time staff members. Elizabeth, let me tell you something. She got a tough job. She's one of our proofreaders. Everything here is proofread until it's corrected. Now, I know, some of you geniuses, we miss one every once in a while. She's got a tough job, Elizabeth. Let me tell you something. Thank you for making this look good. Thanks for cleaning this up. It's going to be tough. It's hard. We produce a lot of material around here, but Elizabeth, let me tell you something. You just breathe in and you enjoy what God's using you to do. All those years when you studied English and you prepared in college for a time just like this, thank God for it. Now God's using your study of the English language to help our church. Thank you, Elizabeth. Just breathe in. Mrs. Barbara Jones, where are you at, Mrs. Jones? Mrs. Jones, I want you to take this. I'm going to hand it back there to you. Mrs. Jones, enjoy singing in the choir. And she does. Just breathe it in and enjoy it. I know choir members. I know it's work. I know you're here on Sunday night before the rest of us. I know. I realize your Sunday afternoon is short. But let me tell you something. You're singing for Jesus. You may feel like you're singing for this congregation, but it's far bigger than that. Every time you practice, everything you put into it, Jesus sets on His throne and He listens to every song you sing. Don't ever forget that. Enjoy it. Just stop. Enjoy what you do for God. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're looking at a happy preacher. I'm a happy man. I enjoy what I do so much. I mean, Brother Jones, when I preach, I'm in hog heaven. You're not, but I am. I am. I enjoy it. I enjoy what I do. I don't want to miss it. I want to enjoy it. I want to stop and breathe it in. Where's Mrs. Montgomery? Miss Montgomery, are you here? Mrs. Montgomery, I'm going to bring this back there to you, and I'll make it so you don't have to come all the way up here. Mrs. Montgomery is one of our greeters. She shakes hands and greets people out front here. Enjoy it, Mrs. Montgomery. Enjoy it. It gets hectic. I realize that. Sometimes, especially when it's extra hot or rainy and people are coming in out here. But enjoy it. Yeah, hey, what a privilege. What an honor. All those visitors that come in. The first people that the visitors meet are those greeters. Hey, greeters, enjoy it. Enjoy what you do. Don't let it become old hat. Stop and realize, hey, the whole Mille Lacs family that hang around this back door back here greeting and laughing. Enjoy it, folks. You're at the church. I mean, you're watching the people leave that packed parking lot and come into the church. Just breathe in and enjoy it. Brother Fisher, can you make your way down from the balcony? I'll talk to you in just a second as you get here. Brother Peterson, where's Brother Dwayne Peterson? Are you here tonight, Brother Peterson? There he is. Brother Peterson, come on up here for a second. Brother Peterson is one of our good deacons here at the church. Brother Peterson, I want you to stop and smell that rose. Enjoy being a deacon. This guy helps, and well, what a good example of a deacon, a humble servant of God, a man that loves God, and all he wants to do is help our church succeed. As you help lead our church, Brother Peterson, enjoy it, because we sure enjoy you. Brother Fisher, why don't you come on down front for me? Brother Fisher, what a good man, a leader in our community. I love it. Here's a man that climbs in the seat of a bus Sunday after Sunday and drives a bus. Little boys and girls screaming to beat the band in the background. Brother Fisher, every time I see you drive that bus, I think, praise God for it. Enjoy it. Don't forget while you're enjoying it, all those little boys and girls that come to church. You represent an army of bus drivers around here, but you've seen them. You've seen them get saved, those boys and girls, salvation after salvation, because you drove a bus and they could have never gotten here had you not driven it. Breathe in and enjoy what God is using you to do. Just take a moment. Enjoy it. Mrs. Johnson, come up here for a second. Mrs. Johnson, every Sunday morning, she sits in the church office, and she is there to answer the telephones in case there are emergencies with the buses. Mrs. Johnson, thank you for your work. Take the time to enjoy what you do. Just breathe in and enjoy God using you. John and Brenda Kidwell, come up here. Boy, these are tireless workers in the King's Kids program, and they're busy. They're busy. And they work together as a husband and wife team. And I'm so proud of them. I'm so glad they're part of the team. And John and Brenda, while you're over there working hard, thank you so much. And I hope you'll just breathe in and enjoy your service to God. And thank you for all that you do. Ken and Johanna Davis, I want you guys to come up here for a second. You talk about a tough ministry. They go into the community and they reach deaf people. And I thank God for them. You don't know it. Every Sunday night, they're teaching a class, teaching our people the sign language. We have some workers that they're training. This man, you could not believe the hours that Ken Davis puts in around here. I could not describe it. I could not describe it. Ken and Johanna, enjoy it. Enjoy it while you serve God. Breathe in and enjoy your service to God. Mrs. Logue, if you'll come up here for a second. Mrs. Logue is a Sunday school teacher for a children's Sunday school class. She helps to decorate around our church. And to all of you that teach children's classes or you do decorating, enjoy it. Enjoy what you're doing. Let's not get so busy serving God that we don't enjoy God. Breathe in. Enjoy what you do. I realize it gets tense. I realize we're going forward. And we're in a battle. And I know we're in a battle. I know the devil wants to slow us down, and I know he brings hardships our way. But let's just take the time to breathe in and enjoy the opportunity to serve God. Mrs. Greenlee, where are you at? Mrs. Greenlee, I'm going to give this to you. She works with our Dudamus Club. That Saturday, on Thursday nights, she's busy while we're out soul winning. She and her family are busy serving our children and giving them things to do. A very, very well-organized program on soul winning night for our kids. Thank you, Mrs. Greenlee. Enjoy it. Enjoy your service to God. Enjoy every moment of it. Brother Matt Zemacki, I want you to come up here for a second. Brother Matt helps us with our parking lots. He's one of our new parking lot attendants, and this is a productive guy, always trying to get people into church. And again, he's a busy man. He's a professional man. He's a doctor, but thank God for Brother Matt. Brother Matt, as you serve God, buddy, enjoy it. Breathe it in, Brother Matt. You and your wife, enjoy what you do for God. Don't let it become old to you. Mrs. Nash, if you'll come up here. Mrs. Nash directs one of our nurseries. And I'm going to tell you something. Nursery directors may have the toughest job in a church. Mrs. Nash, I know it's busy and I know it's hard. And I know mamas can be hard to deal with. Because every mama loves her baby in a special way. But thank you for the hard work. And to every nursery worker, to every nursery director, let's not forget what we're doing. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're watching little boys and girls back there. And while you're watching them, people are getting saved in here. And people wouldn't be getting saved in here as much if their children were in here, because their children would draw their attention away from the preaching. The children would make noises. You're in the nursery loving and preparing children for church. Hey, enjoy it. I know it becomes hard, but just breathe in and enjoy it. Mrs. Eckert, where are you? I think I've seen you. Come up here for a second. Mrs. Eckert is one of our junior church workers. And again, what a tough job. It is not easy. Brother Bajan, how many people we have in junior church last week? 225 in junior church, Mrs. Eckert. Enjoy it. Enjoy serving God. And I know it gets hectic over there. And sometimes the kids are hard to handle. But thank God for it. Breathe in and enjoy. Brother Mike McLean, come up here for a second, Brother Mike. Brother Mike is one of the preachers in our primary church. What a good man. What a decent man. I'm glad that Mike McLean is one of the role models in primary church. Brother Mike, enjoy it. Life's busy. You're, again, a businessman. You're busy. You got a lot going. Boy, you got a sweet wife. Where is she? You got a sweet wife and some good kids. Brother Mike, breathe in. Breathe in and enjoy your life and enjoy what God's given you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Brother Tom Williamson, come down here if you would for a second. Brother Rich Stoltz, come up here, buddy. Brother Stoltz started our Spanish ministry. And again, what a difficult thing. He runs a bus every Sunday morning and picks up the Spanish people. And then he runs his Sunday school. And then he preaches to them in the Spanish language. And he's out soul winning. And we're reaching those that do not speak the English language. Brother Stoltz, you know what? If I remember correctly, you dreamed of doing the very thing you're doing. Enjoy it. Breathe in and enjoy what God's allowing you to do. Stop and smell the roses. Brother Tom Williamson, and again, what a good man. He teaches our college and career class. He speaks for us. He preaches junior church. He does the counting around the church. He and his wife help with decorating. I could just go on and on. Brother Williamson, thank you. Enjoy serving God, buddy. We enjoy you, but thank you. And just breathe in and enjoy the aroma of your service to God. Mary Morris, where are you at, Mary? Mary is one of our bus workers. I talked about a bus captain earlier. Here's a lady rearing her boy and loves him very, very much. Mary's a good gal, and I thank God for her. Mary, thank you for going out on that bus ride. You work all week long, and then you give your weekend. Enjoy it, Mary. You're serving God with your life. Don't miss it. I wish I had roses to give everyone. I don't. But I've tried to give you some representative people. Mrs. English, are you back there? Come up here for a second. What a dear, sweet lady. What an encourager. This lady encourages my heart so much. Mrs. English, I want to give you a rose today. I'd like for you to represent the membership of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Breathe in, membership. Hey, listen, I don't know for sure that you actually see what's happening here. But I know I've dreamed of this my whole life. I'm going to tell you something, congregation. I'm breathing in. I'm sucking it in as fast as I can, and I can't get these roses apart. I'm watching what's happening around here, and boy, am I enjoying it. I even enjoy the problems. I'm not glad they come, but I'll tell you something. There's just something about the will of God. Even when problems come, you can breathe in and say, it's tough, but it's a good tough. I know who my enemy is. I know my enemy's upset. But I breathe in and I enjoy it. Christine Hill, come up here. What a faithful lady. I'm proud of her. Christine, I want you to represent the saved people in this church tonight. Thank God. If you're saved, thank God for it. Christine, breathe in. Enjoy your life. You're saved. You represent the people that are saved here. Thank you so very much.
Enjoy it. Brother Nathaniel, come up here. This is one of the good teenagers in our church. Nathaniel, enjoy being a teenager at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Breathe in. Teenagers, you better stop and enjoy that school you have over there. I don't think you understand it. You better enjoy your youth director. Hey, you better enjoy the youth activities that are clean and wholesome and decent. Oh, just enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. This last one, I kind of want to save it for Jesus. Because I hope that we are a sweet aroma to Him. I hope that He enjoys us like we enjoy Him. If you're not saved tonight, you've got to get saved. You see, those of us that are saved, we enjoy our lives. I wish some of you would just slow down. And while we're busy with our lives and busy fulfilling the character that you've been trained to have, slow down. Well, let me just put it this way. Stop and smell the roses. God's given us a good life. Let's enjoy it. He expects that of us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.